My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We are live at the Tour Championship, hanging out. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark Zeno's been filling in for Mike, who's on vacation this week. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we are glad that you're here. Zeno, I got to tell you, making our way over here. And is Zeno's mic up? Is it working, making sure here?
Give me a little love. There we go.
Because I hear you, but I don't hear you.
They try to silence me. They can't do it.
Well, I've tried to, but that's true. Making our way over here, first of all, East Lake is completely redone.
Yes.
Okay? I've not had a chance to walk all of the holes to see exactly.
Because it's 107 degrees outside.
Well, that's true. To see exactly what has happened and how this course has changed. But I will tell you, it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. We are broadcasting literally live from the Bushmills tent. Now, this is on 16, looking mm-hmm. at 17. You cannot miss it. Want to give a big shout out to Rob and Rico, the guys that are bartending here. Our man Marvin, who when we walked in, is all over it. They have incredible drink specials going on. So, listen. We're going to be here until 7. But, Zeno, as you made your way in here, you know, you just realize how cool it is to have this event again in Atlanta. I hope we don't take it for granted. I know they've been doing it a long time. But to have the world's top 30 golfers here, as a matter of fact, Scottie Scheffler is going to tee off here. And well, I think he just teed off just a few minutes ago. Yep. But he starts atop the leaderboard.
Shocker.
Yeah. So we're going to keep you updated. We got a lot of football to talk about. College football tonight. Deion and the Buffs are playing. We'll get into that conversation. The Falcons made a trade after we got off last night that a lot of people are talking about. But I got to start first with, are you on board now? 12 of the last 16, Zeno. I'm talking about our Atlanta Braves.
Last 11 now?
Yeah, that's right. This is as hot as they've been all season. And I would have never guessed with this lineup that they would be able to do what they've been doing. But last night it was about Chris Sale again. And how good has he been, man?
I mean, he is the best free agent acquisition this offseason by any team, by far. Putting together a Cy Young campaign. Every time he goes out there, he strengthens his resume for doing it. Is that now 9 or 10 consecutive starts with 2 runs or less?
Yeah. And he picked up win 15 last night,
right? He has been everything you wanted out of an ace, and the least expected ace out there. Because when your ace, Spencer Strider, went down, and then your second ace, Max Fried, went down and hasn't pitched up to the level we're used to, your third ace, which we didn't even think was good, we thought he was going to be a fourth or fifth guy in the rotation when we signed him, has now carried the mantle the entire season. You just know. The truck, another one up for Double A. It's a real win for him again. But this is starting to feel like what we thought we were going to see in May, and then in June, and then at the beginning of All-Star break, and then post-All-Star break. And now we are turning the calendar to September in the most important month of the year as far as where the Braves are right now in the middle of a playoff chase. So if you're going to get hot, it's never a bad time to do it in September.
You said this, and now it means more than it did just yesterday because the Phillies lost. Mm-hmm. The Braves head to Philadelphia for 4.
Yep.
And, you know, just a few weeks ago I said, oh, well, I would tell you this is the biggest series of the season when the Phillies came here. But it just didn't feel like it because we were kind of down. You know, we had injuries and the Riley mm-hmm. thing had happened. And we were just like, eh, I don't know how to feel about this. This is by far the biggest series of the season.
Well, look, here's the reality. You take 3 of 4 here, okay, and you end up 3 games back, and you hit September for the final 25 games. You can't ask for better positioning, all things considered, given how much this team has looked not like a playoff team at times this year. So, you know, credit to the Braves for hanging around. The Phillies have come back down to earth. We've seen that. The real challenge is being able to beat the Phillies in their house, where they're 20 games above 500. They have the best home record of any team in baseball at 44-24, tied with the Dodgers. It is a very tough place for them to play. The Phillies score a ton of runs at home. So this will be a real good litmus test real quick. I mean, unfortunately for the Braves, the way it worked out, Chris Sale won't pitch in this series now, right?
He won't.
So your best pitcher in a game that you may need a stopper in isn't going to end up pitching in this series, and that's disappointing. However, equally as important for him to get a win last night because of the way the Phillies lost, and now you put yourself in a scenario where let's see how this whole thing shakes out. I mean, obviously tonight we get Charlie Morton. Tomorrow we get Ronaldo Lopez. Saturday, you're looking at Max Fried. And then Sunday back for Schwellenbach. So the pitching has been the strength. If they hold up, it's going to be a real win. But again, if they get 3 or 4 here, 4 or 4 is incredible. But 3 or 4 gets them in within 3 games. Then you got the series against weak Colorado, weak Toronto, and the Nationals over the next 10, what would we say, 8 games, which you said sweep, sweep, sweep.
Sweep, sweep, sweep.
I don't believe you. But nonetheless, taking 6 out of those 8 would be huge.
Braves move within 5 games of Philly. They haven't been this close since May 18th.
Wow.
This is it. If you're going to make a move, it's this weekend. And just what Mark Zeno said about the fact that you don't have Chris Sale, your best starter, not participating in this series sucks. But here's the thing now, and this is what I think has changed for our Braves. And by the way, we invite you to follow us. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes. Follow the show at Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Mark, give them your Twitter handle.
At Mark Zeno, M-A-R-K-Z-I-N-N-O. All insults welcome and appreciated.
And that is true. Here's the thing. We're loose now. We went from being a team that had all this talent and expectation to a team that has been injured and banged up and scuffing and fighting our way through to now all of a sudden you have guys that are giving you more than you ever expected because the clubhouse is loose. Let's be honest. We don't have anything to lose here. Well, Phillies have everything. They've been the best team all
year.
The
pressure is on them.
It's on them.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at the Tour Championship, broadcasting from the Bushmill tent right here at the Landing, guys, looking at 16 and 17. Mark Zeno's in for Mike. And before we continue our conversation talking about the Falcons and the Braves, we get a chance to talk to a couple of members of the First Tee Metro Atlanta. They do an amazing job, by the way. If you've never heard of First Tee or what they do to help kids out, grow the game, and get kids involved, you need to check them out. But Nigel and Alana, is that right?
Yes. Yep.
Welcome, guys. First and foremost, it's always cool to get a chance to talk to you guys. Tell us a little bit about your story. First, Nigel, starting with you, man, and tell us what's going on with you and what do you think about the tournament and just being here and being a part of it with First Tee.
Yeah, well, today we got to hit the Hope Tee shot this morning, and it was a good process.
How'd you hit it, man?
I hit it pretty good. It was like down the right side of the fairway.
Liar.
Oh, no, no. You can watch the clip back.
It looked good? It looked good?
Yeah, it looked pretty good. I was a little nervous.
It
a
is.
A lot of people. Yeah.
It's nerve-wracking, right?
Very.
When you see everybody in the lined up for that first tee shot, right? Mm-hmm. And you're watching it on TV, you take for granted, like, is he going to miss this?
Right? I know, right?
You think about that, and then you get a chance to go out and hit it. But you hit that, and what else did you guys do today?
Really, we've just been kind of hanging around the tent where the first tee is, and we'll just say hey to the players. And
you get a chance to meet some of them?
Yeah. We watched, Ludwig Åberg and Rory, and we saw Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, yeah.
We met him yesterday.
Cool.
Yeah, supposed to be getting some clubs shipped from TaylorMade. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Got any extras?
I need to be asking them that.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I was trying to ask Russell Henley when we met him if he had any extra wedges I could use.
They got any RBX drivers over there. Someone give me a call.
That's incredible. Nigel, again, they are from First Tee Metro Atlanta. Alana, what about you? Talk about your story. Did you get a chance to hit the first tee as well?
Yeah, I got the chance to hit the first tee as well.
How'd you do?
I hit it really good as well. I thought I would be nervous, but I was really most nervous on the driving range. But then I got all that out of me because people were still watching us, right? And so when I got up there, when they called my name, the nerves, really did set in. And I play tournaments outside of, first tee and all of that. So I got normal, tournament nerves, but these ones lasted, the whole time. But I think it really helped me, and I powered through it, and I was able to get a lot of strength and was able to hit the ball far. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, she has the mental and physical fortitude to power through. That's the key.
Well, guys think their stress on a Saturday when their foursome is go ahead and tee off. And you got three other guys watching. This is completely different. Yeah. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about First Tee Metro Atlanta. And, again, for more info, go to the website. What got you guys into golf? You obviously love it now.
Yeah.
But what would you say if there's a young kid listening and maybe their parent is saying, hey, you want to get into golf? Because I think there are a lot of parents who would love to see their kids get involved. But once you guys got involved, now you have this passion for it. Talk about that and how you've grown in this game.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I used to live in Washington State, and I used to live on a golf course out there. So they had a really good junior program. So I joined that, and then they have First Tee out there too.
Sure.
So I joined the First Tee out in Washington, and that was really fun. There were a lot of kids. I learned all about core values and all of that. And then when I moved here in 2019, I joined the First Tee at Metro Atlanta, and that really opened so many doors. Not only does the First Tee give me so many opportunities and other people opportunities, but they also teach great life lessons.
Yeah.
What do you think, Nigel?
I totally agree. I got into golf during the quarantine time about 4 years ago. So, it was really just something to do at first, just something to do. And I kind of fell in love with it and got a coach. And then I actually met Janae here about 2.5 years ago. I had a skills challenge with GSGA, and I ended up winning. And then we were over by the I think it was still the So Cool Zone. And I met Janae and asked a bunch of questions about First Tee because that's what he was representing. Still is. And he told me he got me in the next year, and been rocking with First Tee ever since. So
yeah.
So it's Nigel on the line from First Tee Atlanta, Metro Atlanta. I'm curious, did you guys play any other sports before you? So was golf ever on your radar?
No, never.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing it since I was 7,
okay.
So about 10 years.
Okay. So her, I can believe her first tee shot. You, I'm still a little bit
I don't know. I don't know why.
Was it hard to pick up? Because that's the other thing we hear, right? People, even older people are like, oh, I don't know if I can do it, if I can hit the ball. Right? You have all these things that you have to mentally kind of fight through. Mm-hmm. Was it easy for you guys?
Starting out, it was really only for fun. Like, if you want to start golf, I don't think you should be thinking about being the best player because that's just going to put more pressure on yourself.
Seasonal?
Yeah. So just go out there to have fun and see where your game takes you. And if you want to take it serious, take it serious. But don't put too much pressure about trying to be great at this game.
All right. So
I don't have to be great at this game to enjoy it.
This is true. You can just go out and do what you do, which is what I'm not sure what you do. Let me ask you guys this. Where do you see yourselves in this game 10 years from now?
10 years from now, you'll be seeing me walk down the 18th fairway and everybody clapping.
You want to be a pro?
Yeah.
Wow. What about you, Alana?
Definitely playing college golf and wherever that takes me from there. Because I want to pursue dentistry, so obviously I have to go to dental school.
Sure.
But, yeah, definitely I want to be like a leader in the golf community, even if I don't play professionally.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Big goals.
Yes.
I love that you guys are
setting our hesitation.
Setting the bar. He said he's walking down the fairway. I hope so. I really do. Yeah. It's a pleasure to see you guys.
I often stumble
out here
down the 18th fairway.
And having fun and having impact like you guys do. And I know you guys are going to give back like First Tee is giving back to you guys. So I'm glad you stopped by. Big shout out. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure
to
meet
you
guys.
It's great to meet you.
And I'm going to go watch that tee shot, all right?
All right.
From this morning. Right. Thank you, Alana and Nigel. Thank you guys. Great stuff, man. I love his confidence. He's like, I'll be walking down a fairway and people will be clapping. I'll say this.
They'll be clapping for me to get off the course.
Well, but I'll say this, though. You know what? There are more people now like Nigel, young men who are growing up, right? And these are the two people of you know, African-American kids that are believing that they can actually do that. And, Zeno, I only point that out to say that has not always been the case, right? And so that's another thing that First Tee does when you talk about giving back to the community and giving these kids an opportunity to play. It's amazing. But I wish him luck, man. I hope he does. All right, Nigel, appreciate you. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, again, Bushmill is where we're at, the Bushmill tent. You cannot miss us right here off of 16. We're looking at 16 and 17. We'll get a chance to see some of these second and third shots depending on how guys hit the ball off the tee. We talked about the Braves to start. They're hot. They are in Philadelphia, and we will certainly get back into that. But we got to talk a little bit about what happened after we got off last night.
Mm.
You brought up the conversation the last few days about why in the would the Falcons keep three quarterbacks.
Yep.
And we all said, well, listen, you have benefits to this. There are things that they could do, much more than just insurance. Maybe they hold on to him until later in the season when maybe somebody needs a quarterback and he becomes trade bait. Well, they didn't hesitate. They traded him to the Chargers last night, and a lot of people around the league are saying, okay, we got a six-round pick for him. Zeno, is that enough?
Yes. Yes. Nobody is going to give anything more for that. I don't care what Taylor Heinicke has accomplished and what he's done. Nobody is giving anything more for a backup. I mean, Trey Lance netted what to the Cowboys? Was it a fifth or a sixth? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was something of that nature.
I mean,
he was
the third overall pick.
Correct.
So Taylor Heinicke's not netting you any. You're lucky you got a sixth for him. And that was all the Falcons really wanted to do. They fielded calls. They made calls. And I told you he wasn't, you know, a lock to be part of this whole thing. And again, people who are chirping at me about the whole third quarterback thing, you know, making Penix the third quarterback and Heinicke, it's a moot point. But the point was, if Heinicke was on the roster, that's the only way that would have made sense is to take it out of the equation. Obviously, he's not here. And I told you, once the roster is made, give it 24, 48 hours because nothing is finalized yet. There's a lot of moves, and we've seen a lot of moves that are still continuing to be made. And even we talked about yesterday, Lewis Seen signed, the Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah.
By the way, you see he backed out on the Jets and is now with the Bills?
I did see that after we talked about it.
Right. So there are still moves left to be made. Rosters are still being finalized. Look, put it this way. Once you turn the calendar here into Tuesday and it starts game prep week, right?
Yeah.
Then everything's solidified. You know, then everybody's got their roster set because they're going to go through game week prep. So nobody's going to make any moves barring an injury, you know, at that point in time. So there's still through the weekend some things that can change, some you know, odds and ends pieces, 52nd, 53rd guy on the roster that may be moved around. The point is there was no reason for the Falcons to carry three quarterbacks. Absolutely none. They made that pretty obvious. Good for Taylor Heinicke. He's still got a job, right? He's not out on the street. He's going to a good organization with a good coach in Jim Harbaugh. Maybe he'll get a chance to play. Who knows? But the point simply is is that I said from the beginning, it made no sense to have three quarterbacks on this roster, and here we are.
This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bales, Inno in from Mike. I like the move as well. I just wish, and I feel like, and I think you never know this, but it's sort of like the baseball trade deadline. Once teams realize, one, that there's a need, and two, that you have other teams vying for a particular guy's services, right? Last year, we saw over 65, 67 quarterbacks start in the National Football League, and that's just across the board. It tells you that that is a position where you're going to see injuries, whether they're season-ending or just a few weeks, and guys have to step in. Hell, Joshua Dobbs started for like three different teams last year. So when you look at it from that standpoint, you say, okay, could they have held out and said, we're going to wait until a team is really in need and maybe we'll throw this out there and see if they want to bite? That's the only other way you would have gotten a higher pick potentially, but then even then there's no guarantee. So if you have somebody that's willing to do the deal, do the deal. What did we lose, Turtle, last year with this whole Kirk Cousins thing? We lost a third-round pick. So we acquire a sixth. Maybe you package some of those late-round picks and try to move and do something in the draft. But at the end of the day, you got something for a value, I believe, that could turn into something for you than not getting anything for Taylor Heinicke. And we wish him nothing but the best. Super nice guy, as we said. Just didn't get the job done necessarily here for our Falcons. But he was a good dude. 404-726-0929. I do not believe that there will be any other significant moves with our team, by the way. To your point,
yeah,
I think we head to the weekend. We're going to get through Labor Day, and we'll come back next week, and it's go time, right? It's time to get ready for the Steelers. We talked a lot yesterday about Russell Wilson, who has now been named the starter, and that was kind of the frontline story this morning everywhere because everybody's asking now, did Mike Tomlin make the right decision? You know what he did? He went with what was comfortable, right? That's mm-hmm. what he did.
Sure.
He went with the guy that that felt comfortable and that was more – has the most experience of the two guys that were vying for the job. But more importantly, I just feel like if it doesn't work, you can always go to Justin. I do not feel like you could do that in the opposite direction. I don't know if you started Justin Fields and six games or eight games in, you felt like it wasn't working, and then you go to Wilson and it's not working. You're not going back to Justin Fields. So right. – This leaves the door open for that. It was a fifth-round pick and $250,000, okay, for the Kirk Cousins.
Right.
So we lost a fifth round.
You got a fifth round and a sixth round back.
Yep.
Call it a win.
Yep.
Call it a win. I mean, you know, again, at the end of the day, regardless of what you got back for Heinicke, that's stuff that's so far down the road right now, it does not matter. With what you have in front of you for this season, I can't. I, as any Falcons fan, would have to explain to me why you're focused on anything other than 2024.
No, I agree.
What the cap it is a guy next year? If you have to pick up somebody at the trade deadline, who cares what their cap is next year? Who cares what the cap is? I don't care about 2 years down the road. No GM does anymore. They care, can I win now?
Yeah.
That's how much they care.
No, I agree with you. Zeno, I've said this for many years, and you know, it's irked me when people talk about the cap and what we're going to do and, oh, we can't do this or that. And I always say, give me the best team this year is all I care about.
Yep.
Give me the best team for September when the season starts. That's all I care about. And once we get to next year in 2025, 26, whatever it's going to be, I'll worry about that. 404-726-0929. You guys can always hit us up. Once again, we're broadcasting live from the Tour Championship. And Zeno said this is a hot day, man. It's warm out here, so make sure you hydrate. I know Jersey Mike, our engineer, he was over there at the Tito Steelhouse with Andy and Randy, and he made his way over here. And I thought you were gonna damn near fall out when you came in here. I was like, what's going on? You were walking over here, you're like, it's hot. But we got lucky, man, because they brought a cart for us. And I'm going to put out a video because I was the lady that was driving us over here. I was like, hey, we're headed to our broadcast location. But after we rolled around, you know, I was like, I'm so glad she put us in this cart.
Yep.
It's a long way, man, from where we were.
I mean, we could see the clubhouse from here, right?
Yeah, but it's not like we're cutting through holes to get there. We have to walk around everything.
It's a very circuitous route.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of interesting golf outfits out here today.
What are you saying?
I said there's a lot of interesting golf outfits out here today. I mean, you know, across the board. People are dressed up all sorts of ways. It's a very quiet Thursday here at East.
No, it is.
I can only imagine what Saturday and Sunday are going to feel like.
Well, it always is kind of like that.
How many tournaments have you been to?
This one?
No, like in general. How many golf tournaments have you gone to?
Man.
I mean, tons. I typically go Saturdays.
Tons.
I typically go Saturdays. I've been to the PGA Championship.
Yep. Yep. The best, and I shouldn't say the best day, because it all depends. If you can only make it on the weekend, it is what it is. But these kind of days, the first day of a tournament,
it's nice. And chill,
it's
yeah.
nice. Yeah. Yeah. Even the practice days are usually the best times to go, even though they're not competing, if you really just want to walk around and check things out. But I love being here on the first day. But, yeah, I've been to tons of events over the years, and tons of majors. And
I always tell people, you know, even if you're a casual fan of golf, right, like you're not into it, you just pay attention to the biggest names or the biggest events or whatever, do yourself a favor one day. It doesn't matter what day, go to a golf tournament, okay, and follow a couple of golfers or sit on a hole for a little bit. There's two strategies, right? You either follow a pairing around wherever they go.
Sure.
Or you just sit in a hole and watch people come through, right? I've done them both. But just go walk the course a little bit, right? And then go home the next day and watch it on TV. And watch how they make the hole. Like, you have no idea how much tougher it is when you are on the ground. Like, I was at Bethpage Black for the 2019 PGA Championship when Brooks Koepka won it. There is, I forget it's the sixth hole. There's like a 600-yard par five.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I tell you, like, honestly, I was at the tee box. I'm like, I couldn't mail the ball there. That's how long it felt like. And then you go watch it on TV. These guys are getting there like, hey, he's going to go for it in two here. I'm like, in 2 weeks? What is he going for it in two? What does that mean?
Hit the ball, man.
I mean, it's just you get so much more of an appreciation for how hard this game is and how good these guys are at it and how easy they make it look when you walk the course and then you actually watch it on TV. It's just a monumentally different experience.
No doubt about it. Coming up, guys, we're going to talk to our buddy Brett Boone. He's going to join us, Odyssey MLB Insider. We'll get his thoughts on this big series between the Braves and the Phillies. We'll ask him about Aaron Judge and much more. Stay right there. We're live at the Tour Championship. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk some college football. Danny Cannell is going to join us, brought to you by Bet Online. We got some games tonight, man. Colorado.
Giddy up.
Colorado. Everybody's talking about
you know how happy the next 5 days make me?
How happy?
I mean, it's better than Christmas. There's college football on Thursday.
Yeah.
Friday.
Saturday.
Sunday. Monday.
Yeah, I know. It is hot. It's great. I'm not going to lie. I do love it as
this
well.
This is like the way college football is structured this around Labor Day weekend is awesome.
Well, and you get big games. That's the thing about
yes.
it. So we'll talk to Danny about all that and much more coming up next hour. Also, a little bit later on, we start one of my favorite segments of the year.
Zeno is right?
Oh. No.
Sorry.
When we get on the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley.
Oh, yes, of course.
She will be a part of our dog report on a weekly basis. Once a week, we'll get a chance to chop it up with her. If you've never heard her, I suggest you stay tuned. If you have heard her, you absolutely know why we love her. And we had on the legendary Vince Dooley for many, many years on this show. And God rest his soul. And Barbara comes on and started coming on with us a few years ago. And we were like, Barbara, can you come on with us? And she said, absolutely. And she's such a pleasure, man. So looking forward to that. That's on the way. But right now, let's talk some baseball. And there's no one better to talk with about what's going on around the league and certainly our Braves than our guy, Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. All right, Brett, I said this to Zeno. He's in for Mike today, Mark Zeno filling in. And I said, you know, the Braves look like they might be playing their best baseball even with the lineup that a lot of people never imagined, right, at the beginning of the year, would look the way it is. They go up to Minnesota, they sweep the Twins, and now they're headed to Philly for a four-game series this weekend. Is this the biggest series of the year for them?
It's pretty big. I mean, five separates them right now in the division. And, you know, for the most part of this season, it really hasn't been a race. Philly kind of, you thought they were going to run away and hide, but this series coming up with the Phillies, I could set a precedent. You go in there and take three out of four. Now it's a race for not only, you know, the wild card. They've got a pretty secure spot as of right now. But you go in and win three out of four, that changes the dynamic in the division. So, yeah, definitely a big series. I was in Atlanta last week. Saw them take – they took two out of three for Philly, and then they took two out of three from Washington, as you mentioned. They just swept the Minnesota Twins, which, by the way, is a really good team that not too many people are talking about. Twins are a good team. I just see Sale just keeps getting better. This rotation is really good, best in the league, actually. Bullpen's really good, too, top in the league. And you got Albies and Riley on the horizon and coming back from injuries. So, yeah, with all the injuries they've had, that Olsen, you know, and it's tough to repeat what Ole did a year ago, hitting 54 home runs, but considered for him a real down year, considering with Acuna at the beginning of the year, Strider being out, Sale's resurgence career-wise, I think Atlanta's in a really good spot.
Brett, let's talk about the Phillies for a second because, you know, the mentality of a ball player, when you guys have been in cruise control for this long, right? I mean, and you're not really pushed by anybody. Now you've got to turn it on. It's not playoffs, but now you got to turn it on to make sure you hold on to this thing because the collapse pressure is real. Ask the New York Mets. But the collapse pressure is real. So how do the Phillies – what's the talk in the clubhouse before the game, before this series? How much more serious are these guys taking? Are they trying to stay chill? Give me kind of some of the insight in that.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, you look at them, and, you know, the Phillies right now are sitting at 78-55, one of the best records in baseball. So as much as the outside noise you hear about it, you hear it with the Yankees too. You know, you're always going to hear if they have a bad stretch. But you look up, they've got one of the best records in baseball. So as a player, that outside noise is just that. It's noise. They're not worried about it. They're in control right now. They got a five-game lead, pretty much definitely guaranteed a playoff spot. And I think the more I look at it, it's just about being healthy at playoff time. It's not about how many games you won anymore, whether you won the division. It's always nice as a player to win the division. But it's about being healthy and all your boys ready to go come playoff time. I looked at this Phillies team, and 2 months ago, on paper, I said, Phillies are the best team in baseball, from top to bottom, offense, pitching, bullpen. There's a little chink in the armor for me right now looking at this Phillies team. I think they're a little vulnerable in that bullpen. Probably their only weakness, if you consider it a weakness, but I think they are vulnerable when it comes to that bullpen. It's all going to come down to who's hot at the right time and who's healthy, I think more so than ever. I think 20 years ago, no. I think we could predict the top four teams in baseball, and usually when it was all said and done, usually the best team won. 2024, I don't think it's anything like that. I think so many teams could possibly win. As a player, I don't like it, but as an analyst and as a fan of the game, I love it. There's so much intrigue once that postseason starts. Nobody knows who's going to win. Anybody could come. I think Arizona, the Texas series, getting to the World Series last year, I think it proved that.
We had this conversation a few weeks ago, and I totally agree with you in covering, you know, Bonds during that time period. And we were talking about him being the best hitter you'd ever seen, I'd ever seen. And then you told the story about your dad, which was incredible. But where does Aaron Judge stack up to what we saw with Barry in 2001?
Greatest ever?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. Well, tell me where he stacks up.
I think Barry's the greatest ever. Yes. I think this Judge and what he's doing and the offensive player he's become, I think he's the greatest thing we've seen since Barry.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's close. You talk about Shohei Ohtani, and yeah, once he gets back on the mound, all-around player, we've never seen anything like that. He's the most valuable player because he pitches and he hits. And he doesn't only pitch. He pitches at the top of the rotation, a one or a two, and he hits like an MVP and probably going to win the MVP this year. So, as great as Ohtani is, as great as Juan Soto is and having an unbelievable year in New York, Bobby Witt Jr., the year he's having, these guys are great. But I think kind of like Bonds when I was playing, Bonds was the best. And second to Bonds was a distant second. I still think with these great players offensively, Ohtani and Soto, I think there's Aaron Judge, and then there's everybody else you can talk about. But I think there's a pretty good gap between first and second on who's the best. He can hit a home run on any pitch, anytime. Where the rest of us are hitting balls in the gap, getting base hits, he's hitting home runs because he's just so big. He has so much leverage. That swing that he's come up for him is just so repeatable. And I watch him every day, and I just think, yeah, this is the best offensive guy I've seen since Barry Bonds.
Brett Boone, former MLB second baseman, joining us here on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Paul Skeens, you know, we've seen rookie flamethrowers come up before. right? Mm-hmm. They have great success early on. You know, I'm a kid who watched Doc Gooden when he came up, you know, and saw what he was able to do. And we've seen these guys all do, even Spencer Strider to a certain extent. And now he's, you know, back with the arm problem. So twofold. One, how concerned would you be about his arm? But two, you know, the sustainability of a guy like that, it doesn't happen often. And usually it's the guys who don't hit the majors with this much fanfare that end up being right. the long-term aces for 10, 12, 14 years for a team. What's your prognosis for his future?
Wow. That's a great question. There's two guys that come to mind. And you went back to Doc Gooden. That was a little bit before my time. Yeah.
Oh, come on. You're not that old.
But the two guys that come to mind with similar fanfare and came up with that big of a splash and that big of a deal and headlines, all Skeens now, but first was Kerry Wood.
Yeah.
And he came onto the scene. He had that big strikeout game where I forget what he struck out. I remember
20.
I was in. Yeah,
20.
I was in Montreal. It was getaway day, and it was breaking news back then. We didn't have MLB Channel, and there weren't all the games. So they broke in and put us on the Cubs feed, and he was striking out all those Astros. And I'm going, how are they swinging at these pitches? Well, I got to face him two starts later, and I realized just how electric he was.
That's great.
And then more recent times is when Strasburg came on the scene. That was big fanfare, and there was huge expectations. Skeens is in that category. So it's just – and today, you know, I just did a podcast with Leo Mazzoni, and we talked. I've talked to doctors. I've talked to trainers. I talked to Leo Mazzoni, hitting instructors, and it's like, why are these guys getting hurt? That's what you got to worry about with Skeens. I mean, the velocity that he has, the velocity of his breaking pitches, you know, they're getting higher and higher now. So it's going to come down to health for me. I think a grasp of how to pitch in the big leagues, the fact that he's done it, he went pretty much straight from college to the big leagues, shows you the maturity and that he's already at that level, which not too many people can do that from a pitching standpoint. College is one thing, but then going to the big leagues the next year and dominating there, those are truly the only special people can do that. He's obviously wise beyond his years. He has stuff beyond his years. He knows how to pitch already. But the big thing is, and especially today, how long will this last? Is it too good to be true? And everybody's just kind of holding their breath like, when's he going to get hurt? So it's just a tough thing in today's game to watch. But as far as just what I see from stuff-wise and that wise beyond your years mentality, this guy's off the charts.
I don't know how superstitious you were or are, but the Chicago Cubs are riding this Swifty candle thing, if you haven't heard. Craig Counsell, their manager, received a scented candle as a gift that was a Taylor Swift candle. So they've been lighting this, is what he says, before games, and now all of a sudden they're on this win streak. And when you look at the standings, Brett, they're only a few games out of the wild card for that last third spot that the Braves are currently in. You got the Mets in front of them, and then they're 5.5 out, you know, with the D-backs, the Padres, and the Braves. You buy into this whole superstition like the candle thing?
I buy into, as a player, I wasn't superstitious, but I was from the thought of, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I'll tell you, if I had a certain meal the day before and I had a big game, believe me, I'll probably have that meal the next day. So I'm a believer of, if you think that's the reason you're winning, then it is the reason you're winning. I think Wade Boggs took it to a different level where he ate chicken every single day. But I'll tell you what, if you believe that's the reason you're doing what you're doing, well, then it is the reason. So yeah, I'm all for superstitions, and I'm all for stuff like that. So yeah, I think the Cubs are believing right now, and it's just kind of, it starts off as a fun thing, but after it gathers some momentum and you keep winning, you start to truly believe, and the mind is the most powerful tool we have. So it'll be interesting. I still think it's a big stretch for the Cubs to sneak in. You gotta go over the Mets, and then you've got to deal with the top teams in the wild card, one of them being the Atlanta Braves, and then the division. So yeah, I don't see the Cubs making it. Crazier things have happened. My Mariners were up 10 games in the division 2 months ago, and as of a few days ago, they were 5 out. I think they've crept up to 3. So I never thought I'd see that happen in a 2 month span. So anything's possible, but I'd be shocked if the Cubs made a run and snuck into that wild card.
Brett, about the beginning of this month, I took a flyer on the Padres to win the NL and win the World Series.
Whoa.
Playing some of the best baseball of any team there, and they're still not even 100% healthy. Still missing Darvish and Tatis. They can get those guys back for the stretch run and into the postseason. I think they are incredibly dangerous, especially for how well they hit the ball on the road. But what we saw last year from Arizona and Texas, it feels like the Padres could duplicate that.
Absolutely. And I was just on with the Padres yesterday, the local station here in San Diego. You mentioned they've been doing this pretty much without Musgrove and Darvish. Musgrove being kind of the horse of that rotation. Musgrove's back. And he looks good, and he's feeling good. And I saw him do an interview in the dugout the other day. And you know when you're just mailing it and you're saying what everybody wants to hear. But he believed, hey, I'm back. I feel great. No ailments. That's huge for that rotation. And King and Cease have been great. Waldron's done a good job for him. That team right now, and I said it yesterday, I said if the playoffs were tomorrow and I had to pick my National League representative, I picked San Diego Padres over everybody else, over the Dodgers, over the Phillies, over Milwaukee. I think they're that hot, and the moves they made at the break, at the trading deadline, solidified that bullpen to go with Suarez, who's as good as anybody at the end of a game. Now you got a Tanner Scott, a Hoeing, and an Adam. They've got four absolute beasts in that bullpen, and I think they have the best bullpen in baseball. And as baseball is now, it's all about that power bullpen in the postseason. Padres definitely have that. Tatis, their star, coming back probably the beginning of next month, just to add to that already pretty darn good offensive team. I'm with you. If I had to pick today who I want, I'm going to take San Diego Padres to represent the National League. I think they're the best and most dangerous team right now.
Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone joining us here. Insider Calls presented by Granger. Always a pleasure, man. I hope you enjoyed the time in Atlanta last week. I heard it was a really good time, so good to have you back.
Yeah, they did a really good job. First-class operation.
No doubt. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Brett Boone joining us here. We're live at the Tour Championship.
That's the place we are.
And we're at the Bushmill tent. We're right here at the landing. There's other spots. Dobell's right next to us, guys. We'll tell you what's going on here. But when we come back, we got to talk some college football. Danny Cannell joins us next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.